I'm going to ask Margaret now to come when she's blown her nose. And Margaret is going to give us our reading, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 25.
Divisions in the church. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. The wisdom of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength.
Thank you, Margaret. Those are very powerful words. I suppose you've worked out what the word is anyway, so I'm not going to ask you that. But it's very, I'm never quite sure what's easiest. When you're preaching in different places, sometimes you're given a set text to preach on because the church is going through a series, just like Mark did last year, and he asked me to preach one of the chapters from Proverbs. And I thought, this is great, you know. And then sometimes you're left like today, and it says on Mark's schedule, free choice, you know, which is very nice of him. And I was thinking and praying about what to talk about and what to focus on today. And I felt very clearly God was leading me to the word, the cross, or the cross. The cross sounds better than cross. The cross. And just to focus on that, because the cross is so important to us. And just to unpack it a little bit in the context of, and leading it in to communion. So that's what I want to do, just to focus a little bit on the cross and then to use that to move us into communion. So that's where we're going. So it's simple, straightforward, so stay with me, all right? And we'll keep together. But I think the cross is so important. That's why we moved it here. I can remember a couple of years ago being asked to take a communion service, and it was in those days when we had the communion table there. And I can remember getting right behind the communion table and thinking, why am I here? Because it wasn't the focal point of the service. And I think we had that discussion, and then we decided to move the communion table here. It's a bit tighter here because I keep banging the backs of my legs on the steps onto the stage. But that doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. But this is the right place for it. And I'm going to say this, I think some of you agree with this. I struggle with having the cross there. Yes. Well, we want to. Well, and I, you know, the central part of the cross. I can always remember. I was going through a difficult period in my life, and in actual fact, we'd gone to All Saints. It was for an evening praise, Purbeck praise. That was it, Purbeck praise at All Saints, and I can remember just sitting there. And they had that beautiful illuminated cross, like we did at Howard Road, right at the front, and sort of focusing on that and the power of the cross. And it is so powerful. And I was thinking about the cross, and some of you know that I used to be a hospice chaplain. Now, you may not know what a hospice chaplain necessarily does. You may think he just goes around and talks to people who are just about to die. Well, yes, he does, but you do lots and lots of things. And thinking about this, it reminded me of one occasion that I had to deal with. There was a couple living in the village that we lived, not far from where we lived. They both attended the Anglican church, but I didn't hold that against them, right? And I can't remember how I got to know them, but I got to know them. But then the husband became ill. He had cancer. He came under terminal care, palliative care, and he came under my orbit as the chaplain to the organisation, the hospice that covered that particular area. Now, I knew his vicar, who was a good chap, and I knew that spiritually he's well taken care of. So I didn't take a hands-on approach because I didn't want to tread on anybody's toes. But they eventually asked me to go and see him. I'd met him before. And I can remember walking into this hospital room, and he was lying on his bed and he was unconscious. Now, this guy was... Is Richard 6'5"? He must be 6'5". Yes? Richard, our youth minister, is about 6'5". He was down here at the beginning of the service. He was that height, and he was big. I mean, Richard's quite slim and slender, isn't he? You know, but this guy was really, you know, really macho. Not the sort of guy that you'd like to meet down a dark alley or anywhere like that. He was a big guy. And I walked into this room, and he was on his bed, unconscious. And in the room was his son. And his son must have been about 30, mid-30s. And I knew his son was a research scientist with a well-known pharmaceutical company. I don't know what the name of the company was, out in Switzerland. And he did research work into drugs and everything like that. And he looked at me and he said, I work in a research industry. I research drugs that make people better, to make them recover. My father is here and he's dying and I can't do anything about it. And it's those moments you think, what on earth do you say next? You know, and you send that little arrow prayer up to God. And then I looked at this guy, and he had big hands. And I could see that in his clenched fist, he was holding something. And his fist was clenched like that. And it was round this. This is what we call a holding cross. You may have seen them before. Very, very powerful. And in a sense, I said to his son, I said, your dad's got his answer. He's holding on to the cross. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But I think in the world in which we live, sometimes we sanitize the cross. This is lovely, because it's nice and smooth, you know. But don't rub your hands on this one, because you'll probably get a splinter. The cross on which Jesus died wasn't nice and smooth. It was rugged. I can remember when Janie and I were talking about this service, she asked me, have you got any songs that we could sing on the concept of the cross? And of course, you went through them all, and they're all the old ones, you know, like the old rugged cross. But it is that. But what I thought we'd do for a few minutes is just think about the cross and to use that as an acrostic. All right, so that's easy to remember. So the C, what does the C stand for? The C stands for the fact that he was crucified. You know, we wear this as a piece of jewelry. We put that there. But in actual fact, do you remember when you were in school? You know, for some of you, it's not that far back, is it, Rob? No, you can remember, yes. For us, others of us, it's a bit further back. But you remember when the teacher wasn't there, you know, and you were left to amuse yourselves, and we were all very good and did that. And then you might play hangman. Do you remember playing hangman? And you drew the hangman's, the gallows. Yeah? Yeah, you'll remember that. One or two looking at you a bit back. Well, that's what this is. This is just a gallows. I can remember going to a service and this minister got up and he was making this point and he picked up a wooden gallows like that with a piece of string and put it round his neck. And he said, would you wear that round your neck? No. But that's what it is. It was actually the worst way they could find to put a criminal to death. Now, Jesus wasn't on the cross that long. That's because they wanted to get him off the cross because the Sabbath was coming. But normally they would be left there and it would take a long time for them to die. You know, I never watched the film The Passion, but a lot of people, you know, were up in arms about it, weren't they? Because, you know, it's too brutal. You know. But this was a brutal and a painful death. Not only was it a brutal and painful death, but add to the fact that he went through the pain of being separated from his father. And he went through the pain of taking our sin on his shoulders. And that's what he did. But the C also reminds me of something else, and Janet talked about this with the children. It's also a crossroads. You know, we've just been travelling the length and breadth of the country this last week because we've had two family funerals. But fortunately or unfortunately, our car blew up. Not blew up. It died. It died at the end of November last year. And so we had to get a new one fairly rapidly. And it all worked out very well. And we got this new car. It was a really good thing. And, you know, new cars nowadays, they all come with new gadgets, don't they? Yes, new gadgets. And I haven't worked out all the new gadgets. This one will drive itself. You still have to hold the steering wheel, but you can take your foot off the pedal if you press the button, and it will cruise at that particular speed on the motorway. I didn't read the instruction book. I haven't got to that page yet, right? But this car also comes with something called Doris. Now, I'm not talking about Janet. The manufacturers don't call it Doris. We christened it Doris. And it's a sat-nav. And we were driving up the M6 on whenever it was, one night, about 5 o'clock. And some lorry had shed its container and the whole motorway was closed and everything. And Doris took us all the way around Manchester. You know, and we came to crossroads and we came to T-junctions. And she said, turn left, turn right. And when I didn't turn left or turn right, she didn't really tell me off. She just said, recalculate, and then told me which way to go. And we got to our destination. Now, the cross is a crossroads. Jesus doesn't sit there and say, go that way or go that way. What he does, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invites us to come to him. But it's our choice. It's a bit like that, the parable that he told of the Good Samaritan. You know, and that the priest and the Levite had the choice of going over and helping the man. And they went on that road. The Samaritan went over and helped him. Or the rich young ruler, when he said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, sell all your goods and come follow me. And he went away with a heavy heart because he had many possessions. But it's just like that choice. Which way are we going? And the R is the fact that he's risen. The cross is empty. We serve a risen Saviour. But we must remember that the cross, although it's crucial, is part of the whole story. Creation starts at the beginning of the Bible. The fall starts there. But it's been interesting. Janet and I have just been reading through Genesis. And you get towards the end of Genesis, and there are verses there that point into the New Testament. Because God has already got it in his plan. And he knows what's going to happen. So we've got the creation, we've got the fall, we've got the birth of Jesus, we've got the death, we've got the resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit and his second coming. And it's the world takes those as separate entities. You know, the world loves to celebrate Christmas, doesn't it? We have a Christmas tree festival, we had loads of people in here. But we don't get that many in at Easter. I don't think we get many in at Whitsun either. But it's not got the same emphasis for the world. The world loves a baby. They'll go gaga over a baby. But over the other things, they don't. But he's risen to give us hope. And I'm always encouraged by that the passage with Stephen. And the way when he was being stoned to death, he just looked up to heaven. And he realized that hope that we have of glory and eternity. I always felt that as a hospice chaplain, it was a great privilege to meet with people. And they were not afraid of death, but they were a bit anxious about dying. Would it hurt? Because you can't answer that question. But that's what it was about. But the O stands for overcoming. Who's going to watch the rugby this afternoon? Oh, Mike is. Are you the only one, Mike? Oh, of course, Terry as well. Yes? Stuart is. Oh, Stuart is. Good. Right. Stuart's watching. Right. Yeah. But, you know, when you watch a sporting event, if it's a bit tight, you think, they're going to win, are they going to win, are they going to win, you know. I sometimes think, well, if I carry on watching it, I reckon they'll lose, so I'll go out the room, you know, or things like that. But this, with Jesus, he's overcome. We have the victory. He's won for us. We're there already. Like supporting Liverpool. That right, Terry? Sorry, Terry supports Everton, right? But he's overcome. He's overcome for us. He has the victory. And then the S's, let's put them together. He saves. S at the beginning, S at the end. He did this all to save us and to set us free. But this is the cross. I've referred to it in the past. You know, you've got that the X, which is the sign, the kiss. The cross is God's kiss of love to the world. God says to you, he loves you. But what's your response to him? Where do you stand this morning? What's your response to what he's done for you? I did it all for you. Yeah, he knows we let him down. Just before he was crucified, Peter denied him 3 times. Yet read the end of John's Gospel. Tremendous chapter. Jesus forgives him. If you feel you've let Jesus down, then ask him to forgive you. And he will. And that's our tremendous response to the cross. So we're going to come and we're going to share this simple meal together. And we're going to remember that sacrifice that he has made for us. But before we come to that, we're going to sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus.